The good news of God's love according to Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When John heard in prison what the Messiah was doing, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or are we to wait for another?" Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, those with a skin disease are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the poor have good news brought to them. And blessed is anyone who takes no offense at me." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you who are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. The man who had baptized Jesus and who had prepared people for his arrival has now been put in prison by King Herod because of things that he said about him and about his morality. John knows that his days on earth are probably numbered, and he worries that all of his labor for God might have been done in vain. He thought Jesus had come to bring God's judgment upon the wicked and to offer God's rewards to the righteous. But Jesus isn't doing that, because Jesus knows that God's plan is for him to take all of the judgment for human sin upon himself, and that leaves him free to shower the love of God on each and every person that he encounters, but especially on the poor, on the sick, and on those judged to be sinners by their neighbors. Jesus is free, free to offer the unconditional love of God for everyone that is celebrated in the words of Psalm 145. God is good to all people, and God's compassion is over all of God's works. The glory and the power of God's kingdom is revealed and demonstrated by the fact that God upholds everyone who has fallen. God lifts up everyone who is bowed down by others. Now, the religious authorities of Jesus's day had a somewhat different understanding of God's love. They taught that it could only be earned, and it could only be earned by those who strictly observed each and every one of God's commandments. Good luck with that. In his letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul describes just how hard it is to try and earn God's love by obeying God's laws. Paul saw the universe locked in a battle between good and evil a battle that is also waged within our hearts and minds. Our spirit is committed to doing what is good, but our flesh is trapped by the power of sin. We know what is good, and we want to do what is good. And again, we let ourselves down, and we let God down. As we often say in our confession, we are captive to sin, and we cannot free ourselves. In today's gospel, Jesus acknowledges that he has a knowledge of God and of God's love that other people don't have. No one knows the Father except the Son. God has hidden things from the wise and the intelligent and revealed them to infants. Jesus wants us to know his Father in heaven the way an infant knows their daddy. The difficult yoke is the one of trying to earn God's love. The easy yoke is trusting that you already have God's love in abundance. Back in the days of Martin Luther, the church was once again laying heavy burdens on people's hearts and minds, telling them that they had to earn God's love by doing good deeds, by praying and fasting, and by making large donations to their local church. Luther wanted people to remember that God's love is a gift that can never be earned. Forgiveness isn't offered to us because we deserve it, but only because of how much God loves us. So in 1520, he published a little book called The Freedom of a Christian, in which he wrote that the more we place our trust in the unconditional love of God, the more we are set free from worrying about ourselves and our security in this world or in the next. We are set free from sin and fear and shame, and we are set free for a purpose, so that we can love God, we can love our neighbor, and we can love the rest of creation. We are set free by Jesus so that we can live like Jesus, freely offering our love to everyone we meet. Jesus would probably agree with Thomas Jefferson that all human beings have been created equal, and that we are endowed by our Creator with certain inalienable rights, including life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. But Jesus would then go on to say that we also have inalienable responsibilities, including that of offering life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness to our neighbor. Martin Luther wrote about it like this: God devotes to my insignificant person, without any merit and by sheer gracious mercy, all of the riches of righteousness and salvation, so that I need absolutely nothing else further, except faith, which believes that it is so. Therefore, I will give myself as a kind of Christ to my neighbor, just as Christ offered himself to me. I will do nothing in this life except what I see will be necessary, advantageous, and salutary for my neighbor, because through faith I am overflowing with all good things in Christ. A Christian is, in the words of Luther, a Christian is a completely free Lord of all, subject to none, and at the same time, a completely dutiful servant of all, subject to all. By the love of God, we have freedom from sin and guilt and shame, and we are set free to love and to serve our neighbor. So how will you celebrate your freedom?